Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Open up to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're in a series, our Christmas series, The Thrill of Hope. The Thrill of Hope. And Christmas is a time of hope. Christmas is a time where, of course, we remember the birth of Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, a thrill of hope. And Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 introduce us to two major births. The first is the birth of John the Baptist, and the second is the birth of Jesus. Let's read about how John's birth has been prophesied and the significance of that and how that may tie in to Jesus. Here's what it says in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So they're both descendants of priests, is the point of that. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah, his division, was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were outside praying. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of him, because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of all this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day that this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but unable to speak. Like a gray blanket of thick fog rolled over the water. The Pacific Ocean was chilly, the air was frigid, and the year is 1952. Florence Chadwick is off the coast of California, and she steps into the waters. She is already the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. She's tough, experienced, and determined. Today, she's attempting to become the first woman to swim the 26 miles from Catalina Island to the California coastline. For hours, she strokes through the icy waters, flanked by boats on each side to watch out for sharks. There you go, Jamie. Keep the sharks away. To watch out for sharks and to provide encouragement. Her mother is on one of the boats. But the thaw gets so thick, she can hardly see in front of her eyes, in front of her face. She can't see the shoreline, although she's been swimming for 15 hours. And she begins to get discouraged, cold, her muscles ache, and her mind is so overwhelmed by the fog and their current condition that after 15 hours of swimming, she did something that she rarely ever did. She called it quits. She just couldn't make it anymore. They pulled her into the boat. She was devastated. All that work, all that energy, until she realizes something even more heartbreaking. The shore was less than 1 mile away, but she couldn't see it. Later in an interview, Florence Chadwick said this, "I think if I could have just seen the shore, I would have made it." Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? The fog rolls in spiritually. You feel like you're swimming in cold water, emotionally exhausted. Maybe feel like giving up. Hope. Hoping God's promise is like the shoreline. It's there. You know it's there. You can't always see it. You don't know how far away it is, but you know it's there. And if you believe it's there, it is like a carrot in front of a beast of burden, drawing them further. The promises of God are given to us to encourage us to keep going. Don't quit when you're in the fog. Don't quit because God keeps his promises. 2 months later, Florence Chadwick got back into the water. The same thick fog, but this time she reached the shore. Here's what she said after her second attempt, which was successful. "As I swam, I kept a mental image of the shoreline in my mind." She later also swam that on two other occasions. There's a 400-year gap between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. Between Malachi and the Gospels. Bible scholars call it the silent years. It seemed as though God wasn't speaking. Had he changed his mind? Had he turned his back on us, never to remember us again? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, God sees you. I want you to know that God sees you. God sees you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He sees you. So there they are, the two future parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the Bible says, is a relative of Mary. Probably her cousin. She's a close relative. John, Luke, the writer here sees the birth of John and the birth of Jesus as connected. They are connected to one another. They're running parallel. There's something significant about John in the birth of Jesus. There's something significant about the birth of Jesus in John. So Luke sees them as connected. The Bible goes out of the way to mention three realities right here. Reality number one, that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of God. In other words, they were living right. Number two, they were childless because of infertility. Second reality. Third reality, they were both very old. So why mention that? Why give that detail? Why is that significant? What does that have to do with God seeing me and being hopeful? Because they were childless was not because they had done anything wrong. In other words, they weren't being punished because of sin. There wasn't some hidden sin that God was trying to expose. It was that they were doing the right thing. They were living right. They were observing the law. They were pursuing the Lord, but they still had no children. How many educators are in the room today? Teachers, educators, administrators, whether it's public school, private school, homeschool. My wife teaches fifth grade. And when students take the state exam, there are rules of engagement for particular exams. The teacher will prepare the students for weeks and months, preparing them, going over the material, getting them comfortable with them, having them recite it, having them write about it, discussing it with them, doing projects related to the material. The teacher will make sure the students have everything they need to take the test, right? That's the job of the teacher, to expose them to the information and resources they need in order to learn the material that they need. But once the test begins, the teacher must remain silent. They won't go anywhere. They're still in the room, but they can answer no further questions at that point. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes we will be tested, and in the test, he remains silent. He won't leave. He will be present, but he'll just be quiet. And the only communication is his presence. He is simply there with you. I want you to know that God sees you. When you are in a desert, a silent year, don't think that God has forgotten about you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you. He sees you. He hears you. He knows where you are. He's close to you. Psalm 34 tells us this. The righteous cry out. Come on, somebody. The righteous cry out. And the Lord, what? Hears them. He delivers them from what? All their troubles. The Lord is what? Close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles. Anybody in here have some troubles? The righteous person, she's like, I got plenty for two people. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. When Jesus Christ is your high priest, you have the strongest, most able, capable, and powerful representation in the universe. There is no other higher power than God's Son, Jesus Christ. And you need to let that settle in, that he sees you and he is for you. Zechariah and Elizabeth, no doubt, thought many times, God, where are you? I mean, we hear the stories of our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, our great-great-great. We pull the writings of Moses and the prophets, and we see our lineage, and we see how you've shown up. God, do you see us? Do you hear? Don't you know? We're getting kind of old here. We're getting old, and we're wanting a baby. We want you to provide. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for you, finish it for me. Who can be against you? So here it is, a powerful picture. Here's the picture the Bible gives us of how God is present. He is like a good, righteous, loving, powerful father who watches over and cares for his children. He is like an righteous, loving, powerful husband who watches over and cares for his bride. Jesus wants to take care of you. Jesus wants to take care of you. He wants to be your good shepherd. And some of us, you know, that's a nice way of lowering the hammer, right? When you say us. Some of you, some of us need to quit overthinking this and let God take care of us. And I want that just to settle in. God wants you to feel that. Feel loved. Feel cared for, feel protected, feel watched over, feel God's provision for your life. He wants you to feel that. Hebrews tells us in chapter 6, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What a great picture. An anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. They're in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where our forerunner, Jesus, the great high priest, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. In other words, he has gone in to make intercession and provision for you, to give you direct access to the God of the universe. He has cleared the way. He has cleared the runway. He has made a provision. He's cleared a path, and he's given access. So Zechariah was chosen that day to do something that he would only get to do once in his lifetime. There were, I think, 24 regiments of priests. They would all take turns serving in two-week shifts, and then at the major festivals, they would all serve. And then from those regiments, they would choose a name each day to go in to the holy place to burn incense. And once your name was chosen, you were done. You may not ever get to do it, but that day, Zechariah was chosen. He was a priest, and have up a picture real quick, just to give a little context. I don't know if you could, how well you can see that. I know the writing is small. But as they come into the outer courts, and they come in past the outer courts, there's an altar. You see the little circle in the middle, says brazen altar. That's where sacrifices would be made. There's burning fire and sacrifices continually made. As you go up the stairs, you enter what would be the porch area. Go inside the building, past those 12 steps, into the holy place. Now, in the holy place, there's three things there. There's three things. There is a menorah, and you'll see some of them in windows now. Jewish community will still use that as a symbol. It's candles with seven candles burning. It reminds the people that God is the source of light, and the priest would have to trim the wicks to make sure they constantly burned and never went out. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. So he's revealing himself in this. And then there's a table of showbread. It's a little square to the right. I'm pointing like you can see where I'm pointing. Sorry. You see? You ever met someone and say, see that over there? You're like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. But up towards the top, there's a table of showbread. On the table of showbread, it's a golden table that had 12 loaves of bread, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And the priest would eat them periodically and replace them. It represented the constant, continuous fellowship that God has with his people. And remember, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And then there's the altar of incense. That's why Zechariah went in that day. He's lighting incense, and he's right in front of the curtain to the Holy of Holies. If you have a microscope or magnifying glass, you can see that at the very top. He's right in front of the Holy of Holies. He's not there, but he's right in front of it. And he's burning incense. He gets fire from the altar, brings it in, and lights incense. And the smoke goes up, giving fragrance. And Zechariah's role that day in intercession is to pray for the forgiveness of sins for the people. Now remember, Jesus has not come yet. And so God's commands were sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Take fire from the altar, burn incense. And the scripture says there were worshipers outside interceding also. They were praying for the forgiveness of sins because it was a continuous thing that had to be done. Now, Jesus was about to come onto the scene, and he was going to fulfill all of that and become all of that so that we could enjoy grace, grace, grace. So there's Zechariah, and he's burning the incense. I want you to know that God hears your prayers. And like incense going up into the nostrils of God, it is a sweet fragrance for God's people to call upon his name. Revelation is in this section here, so if you need some, just scoot on over. Think about that. No longer is all that necessary. Jesus completely fulfills all of that. What we need to do is learn how to pray and pray effectively. August of 2017, it rained. Between 17 and 2025, no meaningful rain occurred. There's a desert in Chile. I think I'm going to pronounce it correct. Atacama Desert. It's so dry there that research is done on what it might be like on Mars. So dry. It rarely rains. And so I think we have a picture. There it is. There's me. And, or there's actually, There's Caden Carlson right there. He's gone to Chile. He was gone. Y'all didn't know this, but he does research on arid climates. Kind of looks like him, don't it? Good looking fella. Arid and dry. It will go. The rain there is, they measure, it's so minuscule, we wouldn't count it as rain. It's just like dust, nothing. But every once in a while, so it went about 8 years, between 5 and 7 typically, between rains. This last summer, 2025, it rained. It rained in July and August, which is their winter, because they're in the southern hemisphere. But in a desert, what you don't see is the bank of seed that's in the ground. Seeds, weeds, grasses, flowers, trees. You don't see the bank of seeds in the ground because, look, the environment hasn't been produced for the germination to take place. But when the environment is there, what happens is what is unseen becomes seen. Do we have a picture of the spring after the rain? So here's that same after the rain this last year. You don't see the seeds. They are hidden. They're invisible. They're underground. They're awaiting their time. They are there. Sometimes will lay dormant for decades. But then all of a sudden, come on somebody, here comes some rain. Here comes some rain. And when the rain comes, what happens is what was invisible, come on, becomes visible. Why? Because the rain came. God sees you. God hears your prayer. He tells Zechariah, Zechariah, I have heard your prayer. I see what you're doing. Hope is like an anchor. It holds on. It holds steady in life's storms. Even when you can't see the shoreline or the bottom, God says to us, pray radical prayers. Dream radical dreams. Don't let the fog of the silent years keep you from walking in your destiny. If you want to pray effectively, one word of advice that will catapult your prayer life to the next level. This one thing will absolutely make you an effective prayer warrior. Here's what it is. Make it your life's goal to know the person and work of Jesus Christ. Make it your life's goal. When you know him, it keeps you from praying silly peripheral prayers. It keeps you on track. It keeps you from praying things that aren't even the will of God. Oh, God, you know how much I love him. God, I just love him so much. If you just change his heart, if he'll quit drinking and beat me, I think I'll marry him. Oh, God, it just change his heart. Well, I'm just going to stay with him. We're going to get engaged soon. I just know it. I'm just going to stay with him because I'm praying for him. Oh, God, if you'll just, you know, help him quit drinking and beat me every night. Oh, God, you know how much I love him. God, God's going, are you serious? Are you serious? Know the person and work of Jesus Christ. Get every other agenda out of the way except to know him intimately. This will cost you everything. There's a lot of dying that has to be done. Ask him to accomplish his will, and he will teach you how to pray effectively, because you will know the person and work of Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship, that intimate knowledge, your prayers will be directed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, let the name of God be glorified. Your kingdom come. Let the rule and reign of Jesus come to me. Let it advance in me. Remove every obstacle. Remove every hindrance. Get the fog. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. The foundation. Number one, I want you to know that God sees you. He wants you to feel that. Number two, God has purpose and power for you. He sees you. He has purpose and power. So the angel, Gabriel by name, by the way, the same one who would go to Mary and tell her the deal, that's next week, says this to Zechariah. He's burning incense. He looks over, probably laying prostrate, probably laying down, kneeling, and he looks over to the right and sees an angel. Now, he drew the lot. No one else is allowed in there. He's fortunate to get it, and he looks up, and there's somebody in the room. Come on, somebody. When I was little, okay, 5 years ago, when you take the garbage out at night, you are protected from all harm as long as the can is in your hand. When you let go, though, you know what can happen. Anything and everything can come and get you. You know, right? Could you go take the can and then you're like, oh, man, here we go back to the house. You ever had that deal? Where you, okay, I had a friend tell me that happens to them sometime. I just trying to be funny to lighten it up. Moment. He's afraid. The angel says, don't be afraid. You're going to have a son. I have heard your prayers. You're going to have a son. Verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Come on. I think, parents, you should underline that and pray that over your children. That irregardless if the world sees them, that they will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Okay, that's significant. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. That's significant. And he will go on before the Lord, okay, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now imagine hearing that. That's quite a download from heaven. That's kind of a lot. We probably should write that down so we don't forget all that. So let's unpack it. He'll be a joy and delight to you. Many. We know you're going to be excited, Elizabeth and Zechariah, but many will rejoice because of his birth. You ever gone to see a baby just born? And the mom's like, oh, isn't he beautiful? And you're thinking, no. That is the ugliest looking raisin I've ever seen in my life. Where did you get this creature? What is that? Is that human? What in the world? So isn't he beautiful? You're going, yeah, he is, isn't he? Many will rejoice because of his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. Okay, and then there's some guardrails here for his life. He's going to be set apart. He's going to be different. He's not to touch, drink, eat anything fermented. Not of it. Don't do it. And something supernatural will occur in a few months, Zechariah. Something unprecedented will happen. Before he is born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the outpouring, the overflow of all of this is he'll bring people back to God. He'll move in the spirit and power of Elijah. He'll turn hearts of the parents to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And he'll make ready a people. He'll prepare the way for the Lord. Now we know now that he's preparing and pointing people to Jesus. We know now that is what he would do. Zechariah and Elizabeth don't know all this. They only know what the angels told them. They're processing it. God's promises are fulfilled to accomplish God's purposes. If you want to know why the promises of God are there, they are there to accomplish his purposes. The kingdom of God wants to advance in your life. The kingdom of God wants to advance in your family. The kingdom of God wants to advance in your workplace, in your marriage, in your home, in your neighborhood. The kingdom of God wants to move forward. And God will give you promises that he will fulfill, and he will fulfill them to accomplish his purposes in your life. Sometimes that's to fulfill his purposes in other people as you serve them. And sometimes he fulfills his purposes in you just because he loves you and he wants you to enjoy him. This is the point where I wish I could sing. I just belt out a song. He fulfills his purposes for you to enjoy him. He wants that for you. He acts to fulfill his will in us. God has a purpose for your life. And the power of God comes to fulfill the purposes of God. So if you think that you're like maybe Elizabeth or Zechariah, you're like, man, I don't know what the deal is. God, we've been praying for something for so long. God, we just really sense this is what you want. God, we don't understand. The fog is, I can't even see the shoreline. God, are you there? Are you there? Are you there? He sees you. And he sends his power into your life to fulfill his purposes. Something very significant here. John will be filled with the Holy Spirit before he's born. And we've never seen anything like this. We don't know of these things. Many scholars believe that happened when Mama Elizabeth heard the words of her relative Mary. As Mary is with child, the Bible says that John leapt in her womb. God has power for you to fulfill his purposes. He has not left you on your own. He has not left you out. He has power for you to fulfill his purposes. So he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He'll be set apart. The giftings and the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon him to accomplish God's kingdom agenda. And he will make a pathway for people to receive Christ. I would submit to you something this morning, that God wants to use the same pattern in your life. That his hand is upon you, friend, and that he has set you apart for a purpose. Things that are not of this world. Quit believing the lies of the enemy. Quit being distracted by the peripheral things of this world. Quit being in love with the things of this world and be set apart. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He has kingdom agenda stuff for you to do that you will not be able to do with your own power, but he has not left us alone. Jesus would later say, "It is good for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send another one, a comforter. The Holy Spirit will come to be with you always. He will remind you of what I have taught. He will fill you with power. We absolutely need, not as a peripheral thing, not as a maybe for some elite group. We need, as a people of God, the indwelling and infilling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come on, somebody. He's available to you today. He's available to you today. What do I do to receive the Holy Spirit? What do I do about this? Number one, remove every obstacle. Repent before the Lord. God, I surrender everything to you. Are you tired of living life like halfway? Like half step, like, surrender everything. If he's the king of the universe, who are we to stand in his way? That would be called like pride, rebellion. Surrender everything. Surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Number two, ask him. Ask him. Jesus said, if a son asks for a fish, would I give him a scorpion instead? How much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit for those who ask? Ask him, Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, can we take just like a 60-second Jesus break right now? Can we just close your eyes for a minute? Jesus, we need the infilling. We need your power. Would you ask him right now just to fill you with his Holy Spirit? Would you ask him right now just to fill you? Oh God, fill us again. Give us a fresh new baptism. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit. Oh God, baptize us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit. God, we need you. God, we need you. God, we need you. Oh, we wait on you for just a moment right here at church. We wait on you. Have your way. Oh, God. Remove every obstacle, Master. Remove every hindrance. Forgive me of every sin. Come on, ask him right now. Lord, every hindrance, every sin, all the things I've held back, set me apart, God. Set me apart. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me. The third thing is by faith, receive. By faith, receive. The same way that you receive salvation, it's by faith, receive him, the person and work, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lost sons and daughters return to their parents. He will operate in supernatural power. In the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah. Do you know what Elijah did? Like we're not talking like, praise God for the seemingly big miracles, the small miracles. I was on the phone with my mother. She had a splitting headache. I said, Mom, can we just pray right now? She said, well, yeah. Right there on the phone. She said, Tim, my headache's gone. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We say, well, that's a small miracle. Is it? I don't know. The Spirit empower Elijah. Me call down fire from heaven. Okay. Like fire comes down. He's moving forth in power. Don't you know? You have authority in the kingdom to tread upon serpents and scorpions. You have authority. Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick and heal them. Go raise the dead. Go do impossible things. Drive out demons in my name. We need power. And then John will be used to bring spiritual order and realignment to families and introduce people to the person and work of Jesus Christ. God has purpose and power for you. Third thing is this, come on, worship team. God rewards faith. God rewards faith. Back to the story. So in verse 18, Zechariah says, hey, Gabriel, sir, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. You want to know the answer to that question? You're old, she's old, you're infertile. You want to know the answer? I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. This is a word from God. But now, you will not be able to speak. You will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. Zechariah, you've been struck mute until John is born because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So the people are outside and they're wondering, where is he? He's been there a long time. He comes outside to give explanation. He can't speak. He can't. What's this about? Been thinking about this all week. If we're not careful, we become so flippant with our words. Okay, on one hand, I don't think God's up in heaven waiting for you to be funny, a funny comment or whatever. So I don't think that's true. On the other hand, if we're not careful, we don't watch our words. We just flip it. We just say stuff. You ever been thinking out loud? That's also called talking to yourself. I sometimes will do that, and I'll catch myself, and I think, man, I hope no one's close by. They'll call the authorities on me, like. I'll have this conversation. All of a sudden, I'm out loud saying the conversation. You ever have that? Just me? Hopefully, some of y'all. Okay, thank you. I'm not out there. I'm on at least. But what'll happen is thoughts enter our mind. If we're not careful, we don't have the right gate up. Those thoughts pass through the gate, enter into our mind. We give them a place and authority because we entertain them. So now that becomes ground for that thought to produce something, to be transformative in one way or another, right? Are we tracking together? If we're not careful though, we won't keep the right gates up. Those thoughts will come and we'll engage with them, entertain them, and they'll become words. The Bible calls those idle words. So I think the best way to guard our faith with words is to have the correct gate up when the thoughts come. Are we tracking? Because when those thoughts come, if they're given the right environment, they germinate. And then the germination takes place. Work with me. Then the roots begin to grow. Then what happens is that thought takes root, and the Bible calls them strongholds. You ever try to kill a tree or a shrub that had an elaborate root system? You chop it down, grind the stump, you thought you killed it. You didn't kill it. It's all over the yard, popping up everywhere. You're chasing that thing for months. So if we don't have the right gate up, thoughts come in. Why do those thoughts come in? Because maybe we're not setting our mind on the correct things, or maybe there's silent years and we're waiting on the promise, and in those silent years, we become vulnerable. Well, this didn't turn out like I thought it would. This didn't happen like I thought it was supposed to happen. God, what I thought was, God, I thought this was going to happen, God, and I don't know why this hasn't happened, and God, I guess none of this is ever going to happen for me, and I don't know why I'm always so sad and depressed, and I don't know why they don't like me at work, as now that we're mentioning it, and I bet probably I'm going to get fired real soon. I don't even know why I'm doing this job. God, why am I so miserable? God, no one likes me at work. I hate my job. And God, I get so discouraged sometimes. I think I'm going to wreck my car. And what will happen if I wreck my car? And I hit right around the truck. I'll probably get a concussion. I won't be able to even function. And someone has to take... What are we doing? I'm sort of trying to be funny, sort of, but we have to put the right gates up to catch the thoughts. Can I be honest with you for a moment? Sometimes I realize something has slipped past the gate. And I hope I'm not the only one being honest. And all of a sudden out of my mouth, I went, how did that even get into the yard? Who opened that gate? And the Lord's saying, well, I'm trying to help you here, Tim. Zechariah says, Do you know how old I am? Do you know how old she is? Gabriel's like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I stand in the presence of? You, sir, do not believe the word of God. Therefore, God's going to strike you mute, and you will not speak a word until he's born. You won't have the opportunity to tell everybody unfaithful words. You're not going to set doubt in your wife's mind. You're not going to walk out of here and do that. I will protect my word. And now we can't talk. Until John's born. The first words out of Zechariah's mouth after he was struck mute months later was, his name will be John. Matthew 12 tells us, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Oh? For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. That Greek word careless, different translations translate idle, useless, empty. It's inactive, useless, unprofitable. It serves no good purpose. That's the point. So what's the takeaway for us? Zechariah was struck mute. How does that apply to my life? Watch your words. Purposely speak faith-filled words. On purpose, some of you try to be funny. On purpose, why don't we determine to use faith-filled words? That don't mean you got to be a spiritual weirdo. That don't mean you can't laugh at a joke. That don't mean you got to always, that don't mean, I don't know that. But how about on purpose, you speak faith-filled words? Why don't you on purpose fill the atmosphere with faith-filled words? Why don't you work on that skill, that gift, so that the atmosphere shifts and changes? Why don't you help other people front yard have good seed in their soil so that when the rain comes, what germinates is a beautiful field of flowers? Not every word is a good word. Not every subject is a good subject. Not every story we should tell. Not every thought we should think. So guard your mind. Put a gate up. Station the Holy Spirit at the gate. Ask Him, Holy Spirit, would you station yourself? Would you station yourself at that gate right here? So when those things come, make me alert, make me aware. What'll happen is that will begin to root out the things that shouldn't be there. That will give you more awareness. Here's a word, conviction of the Holy Spirit to catch those things which are not profitable for you. John, Zechariah could have enjoyed weeks of saying, you don't believe this. I got a story for you. I was in there. Let me tell you what took so long. He's like, they're like, what's the deal? What'd your mama teach you? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything else. That's a spiritual principle. Fill your heart with God's wisdom, God's word. Read scripture out loud. Apply the standards of speech. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Be slow to speak, quick to listen, and speak with purpose. Purposefully fill your mouth with good things, even if you're the only one listening. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, here we are. We recognize that you see us, and you have purpose and power for us. We thank you that you reward faith. Now, God, we're asking that you would stir us. I'm going to be quick here. Let's let the word work. If you're here and you feel like you've been in silent years, you feel like you're in the in-between, between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, and you say, God, I just need some encouragement up in here. God, I just need your help here. You feel like you're in the silent years. You're waiting. You're between what you thought was going to happen, what hasn't happened, and you're there. You're in the middle. You're in there, and you say, God, I just want some strength this morning. On the count of three, just wave at me. God, I just want some. I'm the silent years. I just want a little strength today. I need some help because I don't want to lose faith in the silent years. On the count of three, just wave at me. Pray for me, Pastor. One, two, three, all over the place. I'm the silent years. Yep. Yeah. In some ways, you can be overcoming. In some ways, and being silent years in others. Yeah. God sees. God sees you. God sees you. Yeah. How many would say, okay, I need some power. I need some power. I recognize I cannot do this on my own. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit alive in my life. On a count of three, just wave at me. That's what I want. That's my response today. God, I want your power. I need your power. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me. You filled John before he was born. I want you to fill me now after I'm born. Fill me. On the count of three, just wave at me. Say, Pastor, that's what I want. That's what I need. I'm believing for God to do that this morning in Jesus' name. One, two, three, all over the place. Yeah, 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 yeah. So my hand is up here because the Bible says be being filled. I want to be being filled. I want a fresh new outpouring. I want a fresh new overflowing. The third thing we're going to ask, how many would say, God has convicted me this morning of what has come out of my mouth? Or I have let things pass the gate and I've given that thought room in my mind and I do not need that. It's not profitable for me. It's not glorifying to God and it's not profit. It won't help me in any way. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help anybody. It's an idle thought, an idle word. God, send your conviction to guard the gate. Have me say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I don't want idle words. I don't want idle thoughts. I need to shore up the gate so those things don't take root. On the count of three, just wave at me. That's me. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. I've been praying this all week. My hand is up. On the count of three. One, two, three. All over the place. All over the place. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Why don't we all stand together? Let's stand together. Let's stand together. I want you to, right now, as you stand, close your eyes and begin to ask the Lord. Begin to ask the Lord to do those things right now. Begin to ask him to do those things right now. Begin to ask him right now. Begin to ask him. Come on. Jesus, we ask you. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your help. We ask for your help. God, guard our thoughts. Guard our thoughts. Come on, ask him. God, guard our thoughts. Make them acceptable to you. God, let no corrupt language, no idle word come out of my mouth. Let no idle word, no unhelpful, non-profitable word. God, when those thoughts come in, God, help me to catch them at the gate. Station and position your Holy Spirit right now, we pray. Come on, pray that. Ask him. Ask him right now. Position your Holy Spirit to catch. God, teach me. Work with me. Help me here. Help me. Help me here. Now, God, send your power. Send the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, lift your hands, church. God, pour out your Holy Spirit among us. Pour out your Holy Spirit among us. Pour out your Holy Spirit among us, oh God. Pour out your Holy Spirit among us. God, strengthen our faith. Lord, there's fog. We can't see the shoreline. Lord, send your rain, God. Send your rain, God. Send your rain, God. I believe this morning this is deeply personal. This is deeply personal. We need transformation. As the worship team sings, the prayer team's coming. If you want to respond, these altars are open. So God, help us. God, fill us. God, pour out your Spirit. God, send your gate to the thoughts in our mind so we don't contradict your word. God, help us to have faith to believe. Strengthen us to have faith to believe. If you're not a believer this morning, repent. Ask him to forgive you. Surrender your life. Lay your life down this morning and ask him to pick up the pieces. Oh God, we surrender to you. Come on, let's sing and respond to him. Sing and respond to him. God, here we are. Fill us, oh God. Fill us, Master. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Thank you. to just kind of prod you along. I'm telling you that that deal on the gate in the mine worked me this week. It worked me this week. God's not talking about heinous, horrible, gruesome, sinful thoughts and words. He's talking about idle words. Now, that will be included in idle words. They're not profitable to you, friend. Why would you? They're idle. So as I'm repenting of that, I'm like, God, okay, that's not profitable to me. There's some men in here that need to join me to say, God, let my words not be idle. And if that's you, I just want you to meet me right here. We're going to pray together. Come on, let's sing again. If you're a man, you're here, you say, God, that's my prayer this morning. I want my words to be faith-filled words. And God's changing me right now. I want that in Jesus' name. Come see me.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.